I don't know what is in this fucking drink that you made me drink that John...
You're drinking a Red Horse.
I am completely fucking plastered right now.
We live in three dimensions at the same time. We live in the past through our stories. We live in the future through those stories. And we live in the present when we compose those stories. We're a storytelling species. We're the only species that tells stories. In telling those stories, we understand who we are and where we are and why we are.
That's David Nassau talking about why stories matter to us as a people. Stories are a part of everything we do. Join us each week on the Ninth Story Podcast as we tell stories and discuss the stories that make us who we are. Find us at podcast.ninthstory.com.
Come with me. We'll go for a ride. Don't be afraid.
Welcome to Red Horse Radio. I am John Towers, as you know. This is episode 130, and we are on an away mission here. Actually, we're not in the Stigmata Studio building. Oh, that's interesting. Here, the way team is Dan and Craig from the Ninth Story Podcast.
Greetings.
Hello.
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 So, you guys have been around. This is, what, you're going on your 13th episode?
Is that right? Yeah, we'll be doing 13 tonight later on.
Cool.
And, yeah, we got like 100 episodes in the can.
Yeah, I see, like, but I know that, you know, you guys blow through them pretty fast at the end.
Yeah. We actually probably have a good 6 hours that I've never touched because we just ramble, and I edit a lot of that out.
There's a reason why it's...
But there'll be a worst of one of these days, and I'll just throw it all together for you.
No, that's good. So tell me about the podcast for my folks that don't know. Dan, you've been on the show before.
I have.
Craig, why don't you tell us about the podcast?
I don't know anything about the damn podcast, John. As I've said on many occasions, I'm there. Dan's the talent, and you know you're the talent. I'm there for color. I just provide stuff.
He is very insight. Colorful.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
He's wearing his pink pants today. He looks great.
Right. Dan, you talk about the podcast because Dan is he's the constant thread. I miss episodes. Dan goes out and talks to real talent. I mean, he's actually talked with a couple of published authors over the last there have been several episodes, so Dan, yeah. You do the honors.
Well, the Ninth Story Podcast is something that we started. Actually, you were John, where you were here, you were on the first
John
episode.
John was on the maiden voyage.
He was on the maiden voyage, and he was actually on the lost one too, because we actually
right. Well, we had equipment issues, right?
We did have equipment issues. We had like 2 hours worth of audio that we recorded that was completely useless after the first 30 minutes.
I occasionally have equipment issues, but I generally only need like another 15 minutes. Yeah,
that's a different kind of equipment.
Oh, I gotcha.
So the Ninth Story Podcast is basically our venture into stories and storytelling and spending time with those that tell the stories. And when I say stories, I'm talking about all the different formats. So that would be, you know, movies, television, written, play, whatever. You know, basically the I think we're talking about doing an episode in the future. In the near future, actually.
You're going to actually go to the future?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, it's time for that. We go over, then we'll steal the next 20 episodes.
Right.
From
And then you'll have them in the can, and exactly. you'll have to record them.
We'll steal from those punks that already did all the work.
I'm going to go into the future, and I'm going to steal episodes 131 through 150 of Red Horse.
Nice.
Listen to all those, and then come back and say, sorry, John.
That's right. Sorry. We'll just play them. Why do the work yourself when that's you right. can steal it from people in the future?
Steal it from the rube that already did it.
Yeah,
all
those
work.
Damn goobacks. So, yeah, I mean, and then also along with that, I do The Ride, which I'm diligent in. I was actually going to release one last night, and the website that I use that I get all my free sound effects from was down for maintenance.
Oh.
So I have everything recorded, but there's no sound. And
probably a storm. Winter Storm Maximus.
They're over in England. They knew.
Yeah.
They're like, those, here you go, Mr. America, making fun of us. We're going to go into maintenance mode. No ride for you, liar.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, we've, yeah.
There was a lot of vitriol in that.
Well, we've upset a lot of countries. I mean, I don't know.
One country at a time, right, alienate them. Right. So the ride is like an old time radio show. It's about 10 minutes long each episode. And, like I said, I do have an episode recorded. It's just not mixed properly. So that will be probably out later this week since we're all together hanging out tonight.
Shaken, not stirred. Mm.
Exactly.
Dynamite.
You got to mix it up.
Yes.
And then we do some story readings every once in a while. I actually have a couple others of those that I'd like to read. And,
Nelson's been here, right?
He has been here.
He's made the round over here?
He did.
Nelson was here.
Stitch is not here. We looked.
Jessica McHugh was on recently.
Yeah. That was my first Skype interview.
She's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a very engaging, entertaining interview. And Dan interviewed David Nassau before. That was a real coup. I mean,
David Nassau. That's the big one. We had 15 minutes of David Nassau, and he was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for 12 minutes. And I think he made a comment to me about that. Like, you know, you got more time than Jon Stewart did with me. But he was really cool. In fact, there's some of the things that he said during the interview. I wanted to put together a little promo for the show that's like about maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds long, a minute long, that people trying to figure out what the show's about. It'll be like episode zero, and they can go there and listen to that little spot and figure out what it is. But he had some really cool things to say about stories and storytelling. He's a historian, biographer.
Yeah. That's cool. So I don't have people in on the show very often because I don't like to plan out or organize anything. However, for today...
However...
I did get a related topic for us to talk about. Last time you were on, we did...
Dark Fairy Tales, right? Or no, that was me and...
No, last time you were on my show...
You guys did crossover.
Right. So today...
I was a little drunk at the time. I don't remember much. I remember a helicopter hit me in the crotch, and that's about all I remember.
That's the Red Horse radio attack drone.
At some point during that episode, which, you know, I couldn't attend, I was originally supposed to be there, I thought you guys crossed over to the other side. You know, like that old show with, you know, the crossing over with John Edwards.
Oh,
because
nice.
John was doing his damnedest to keep you reined in, and you just were going several up.
Well, that's why people get me to moderate panels, because I just beat the shit out of people, like, until, you know, I bend them to my will.
Right. Yeah. Put the red horse down and pay attention.
So the topic we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about political leanings of superheroes. And I figure, I don't think that you guys get into comics and superheroes very often on the show. So I thought this would be fun, kind of new territory for everybody.
And you know why that is, John? I'll tell you why. Because the last time we started talking about it, we got into a fist fight.
happens sometimes.
Right. And we had to edit it out. Because it didn't translate well to audio. No. A fist fight generally doesn't, you know, unless you're visualizing.
You just
right.
heard a ruckus.
Right. There was a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus?
Right. And no one could describe it. But Dan's a... I will tell you this for your listeners, and Dan's a big Superman guy, and I'm a big Batman guy.
Okay, well, and those are two guys we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so awesome. And as you know, as the genius of comics that I revere you as,
well, thank
sincerely,
you.
Yeah, I mean that. That goes so many different directions, and we have had conversations, but none of them have been suitable for the airwaves because there's just no way to get either one of us to stop babbling long enough to make it a cohesive discussion. So good luck.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, the ground rules of the discussion are going to be, we're not talking about the new movies. So no one's going to talk about Ben Affleck or that.
I think I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I'm good with it.
All right. So just to get an idea of where we all are in our definitions, we're going to stick to the quaint definitions of the political leanings. So it's going to be, you know, conservative. We'll pigeonhole that as like small government, least amount of taxes, et cetera. Liberal, larger government, you know, social programs, this kind of stuff. All right.
No libertarians.
What's that?
No libertarians.
No, we're gonna keep it.
Those guys make too much sense. We don't want that.
So just to get like a litmus test of where we are.
No Whigs. No Tories.
No. Sorry.
Tea party. Tea bag. Hey now, that's not a.
Hey now.
So just to get a litmus test of where we are, we're going to get one thing, and we're going to talk about like the Empire as far as Star Wars is concerned. We're going to figure out where we are as definition wise. Is the Empire a conservative empire or is it a liberal empire? Greg?
Wow. That is a good one. You know, that's a non softball question, Dr. Towns.
That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Right.
He can afford to be a man of leisure.
I don't know. And the reason why I'm hedging on that, I have to be honest with you, my immediate answer to that was is based upon something that I read when, what's the second one? Attack of the Clones. When Attack of the Clones came, I mean the second one.
Right,
you know what I mean. When Attack of the Clones came out, I remember reading that that was allegedly a political commentary on the Bush presidency.
Yeah, and,
at the time, and, because of the military, because we were going and fighting mm-hmm. two different wars.
And when you look at, like, when you watch some of the documentaries and stuff, I'm sure Dan is going to know what I'm talking about. You'll see in Lucas's notes where he describes the Empire as Nixonian.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was actually like a name of an alien race at one point in time that was tied to the Empire. However, anyone that's been through any kind of film analysis or critics class will tell you that the author's intent doesn't always translate into the symbology
exactly
of the
right.
thing. Sure. So just because, I mean, we can all also agree that Lucas might not be the sharpest tool in the shed.
I think we have a quorum on that.
All right. All right, so we got a standstill for right now. Yeah. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah.
My immediate gut instinct answer is that they're conservative. I mean, I think that initially the original three movies are a commentary on Nazi Germany, which is, I mean, I don't know that you can get further to the, you know, to the conservative side than that.
Well, I have something to talk about then.
Fantastic. Wait, look at that.
Nice drop in there, dude. Nice segue.
Because I know the history of the movie and I know Lucas's
you hang out
leanings.
With him.
I don't.
Not anymore.
Our egos couldn't fit in the same fucking room. So what I wanted to just talk about for 1 second is you're about to talk about fascism. Mm-hmm. And I want to see if we can all just see the problem with fascism is it gets thrown around. It's like the N-word. Mm-hmm. Like it means a million different things to That's a million right. different people.
Yeah.
So I want to just take a second back and talk about Hitler's 25-point plan he introduced in 1920 while he was taking power.
Should I be offended by this? I think I might be offended. I can't. I don't know if I am or not.
Why are you offended?
That's an inside joke.
That's an old joke that took place at our the place we all three of us used to work where we first all met one another. I get it.
Okay.
it's so funny.
I just jotted down.
I made a comment one time, and somebody read my email, and they're like, I don't know.
They're questioning whether they're offended.
Well, if you're
that's, and that's
not.
See, John, that's why it was funny. That's the joke. Like,
you're not.
I think I'm offended by that.
And even so, just as a sidebar, saying that you're offended is like, it's not even a statement. Like, it doesn't give you any power. It just means you're
nothing.
Stupid. Yeah. All right. So I jotted a couple of these points from this 25-point program that Hitler himself it was his platform, basically, in 1920. I didn't do all 25 of them, but let me just read these. I should have actually just read them and
you
seen
should have, because yeah. it's one of those things where, like, if you read it, people are like, "Hey, that sounds like a great."
That's
idea.
Exactly right. And that's a good segue, John. I don't want to jump in, but that's and we can talk about this a little bit later. And that was one of the things I used to do. The same thing. If you read, and that's Dan knows where I'm going with this. It's the whole concept of the veil of ignorance. If you throw something out there, and you say, here are ideas, but you don't say who the speaker, right. the author, or whatever. So many people, yep. because it all goes down to my theory of the ad hominem argument that most things that people don't like is because they don't like the person.
Right.
Or they think they're not supposed to like the person. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, okay, so, but you'll see where I'm getting yep. as soon as I get through some of these. All right. Point seven. We demand that the state be charged with providing a living or a livelihood and a way of life for the citizens. Okay. Point 9, all citizens have equal rights. Point 13, demand the nationalization of all associated industries. Basically, that they hadn't taken over before 1920. And the last point, point 15, is demand expansion of a large scale of welfare. Now, these items... If you change the vernacular a little bit, oh, I yeah. think that you could fit this right into our current administration's plan. I don't think any of us is prepared to say that's a conservative.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. Great argument. You son of a bitch.
I told you a lot of show prep. A lot of show prep.
I got nothing for that one.
It's because they all work for the same side anyway. It's all theater.
Okay, and I'm just going to weigh in. That I believe that the Empire is a liberal organization because you can't build the second Death Star without raising some fucking taxes.
Well, you can if you go in and you just like ad hoc turn entire planets in this in the slave races.
Well, okay. Well, let's take this point. In the episode 4, mm-hmm. Tarkin, Admiral Tarkin or Grand Moff Tarkin is talking about, we finally did it. We dissolved the Senate.
Right.
Well, just this last past 2 weeks, you know, we've had someone that's talking about totally going around the Senate because he doesn't like what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great, it's a very compelling argument.
Okay.
I cannot disagree with thee.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would you like to officially weigh in before we start or?
I'm not officially weighing in. I will caution you, John, and this is the one thing, and I don't want to get into the history about why I love John, because John and I, uh-huh. John is actually, and I think people are oftentimes surprised by this. By definition, I am a liberal, and I think John knows that. He and I have had that conversation before, but I always look at myself as a very conservative liberal. And I'm a Democrat, but I try to be pragmatic. I'm not that far left. It's one of the things that Mike, Sarah, and I used to love to argue with Sarah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. I like to talk about politics with people who are educated. But my undergraduate degree is political science, so I've always been trained to be right in the fucking middle.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, that's why I did all the show prep, because I'm like, if Weber's sitting here, then I better get some shit together. So.
But part of mine is like, I equivocate so much, because it's like, and that's what you should be.
Right.
You know, it's like, you should never be so far left and so far. Right.
People get married to these ideas that they have, and then all of a sudden it becomes personal to them, and we all know, you know, all of a sudden it's a fucking fist fight when it should be a discussion.
That's exactly right. And I've always
better to have ideas than beliefs.
Right. I always, you know, the whole thing is not to belabor the point or go too far off topic, but I look at issues, and a lot of times, like if there are 10 issues, because I do this every election, and I'm not a guy, I don't go in and pull the lever that's just all this. I vote Republican, I vote Democrat, I vote for the person who has the best idea on the issue at hand. Period, end of story. Yeah. I'm not, that's the way you gotta be, but anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Regardless of what Grand Moff Tarkin said.
Fucking Tarkin.
Tarkin, that son of a bitch.
Well, you know, just so I can be a point counterpoint, I'm gonna stay with my original opinion and say that they're a fascist organization and that they're conservative. Because I can still see a lot of that, like how they oppress different races, and they don't get, if you're not human, you don't have the rights that a human does.
Okay, do you know why the Republican Party was founded? Do you know what prompted the Republican Party to be formed?
Slavery and Abraham Lincoln.
It was to get rid of slavery.
Yes.
Not, you know, not to oppress people. And the counterpoint to that would be, you know, when LBJ signed what is it, his big social program.
I think that's enough. You know, like to describe it as that gets like when you said that before, I remember you made reference to that in an episode before, and like people who know policy, they get it.
Yeah.
Like when you say when LBJ enacted all of his reforms.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's not
agreed.
It's not when he enacted it, it's what he said when he enacted it. He is on record saying, I'm gonna have black people voting for the Democrats for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
To me, is that oppression? It sounds like he
sounds a little tricksy, doesn't it?
All right, so we're going to get all that out of the way.
Yep.
And we're going to go ahead and move on and talk about some characters. And you guys talked about Superman and Batman before, so let's talk about Superman first. Would you consider Superman as a liberal or a Democrat? Or a Republican? Conservative? Finally got one, yeah.
Here's the interesting thing. Well, I'm going to answer this in terms of... I mentioned this to Dan, John. There's a book that I'm reading right now. It's called What Jefferson Read, What Ike Watched, What Obama Tweeted. And it's a book about
the media.
Right. It's a book about how presidential opinions, actions, and whatnot are shaped by popular culture and the media throughout and it's a really fascinating study.
Right.
And when you and I had talked about a month ago and started talking, throwing around this topic, you know, you intimidate me with your knowledge of everything. So I started
doing fire. So I started doing research. Normal humans.
So I started looking at things, and I really look at comics. And this isn't going to be it's not groundbreaking theory that I'm throwing out here, but comics, as I look at them, are a product of the time in which they're written. Mm-hmm. That's
why they work on the sliding scale.
That's right.
Because you could take Vietnam out, put Iraq in, and still have the same kind of thing.
Exactly. Or what is it? What's the fictional country that we're fighting in The Dark Knight Returns?
Oh,
Cordo Maltese.
Cordo Maltese.
Yeah, yeah, and it comes up in one of the movies that we're not going to talk about. yeah. So I would. I always look at Superman, and sometimes, you know, I look at it the way that you look at things, and, you know, Dan and other people that I know, they influence my opinions, obviously, because I'm open-minded. But I always looked at Superman as a weapon of the government. And it's not – and I kind of don't – it's like whatever the party is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult, obviously, to disassociate the imagery of Dark Knight Returns mm-hmm. when it's clearly a – you know, Frank Miller's attempt to create a Reagan-esque type presidency.
Well, and, you know, Bruce says, like, anyone with a badge and a flag.
Right,
know,
exactly, know. Exactly. And then, you know, I think I traded some messages with you on this. In 428, the issue of Batman where Jason Todd is killed, mm-hmm. a few pages later – the government sends in Superman to calm Batman down.
Right.
Because it's like, Bruce, don't go fucking stuff up.
Right.
You know, things are tight, you know, we're because that's, you know, that's set in the Middle East. So I, regardless of what the party is, I don't make a party affiliation with Superman. I view him as an agent of the government.
So we'll settle on.
Which is tough to.
He's a nationalist.
He's a, yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. But I didn't want to break your rule. So so conventional wisdom, if the military is traditionally viewed as associated with the Republican conservative base, I'll go that way. That's a really long answer, but I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But like, well, you know, what if JFK sent him to Vietnam?
Exactly. That's a great point. Great point.
Okay. Dan, where are you falling on Superman?
I would have to agree that I think Superman falls where the government falls. I think he's a, if I have to pick one, I'd say he's conservative. One of the things that I find interesting, and you've talked about this before, that there are no new heroes, that they rehash Superman, Batman, mm-hmm. Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Superman, Batman, over and over and over again. But one of the interesting things about that is you can judge the times by that character, because that character changes slightly with the times. I mean, you see Superman change from, you know, World War II, how he was then, into modern era, and it's just... It's almost like you can take a litmus test of where the leanings are of the United States, probably more than any place else.
Yeah, like where, like, they write. We sent our comic book heroes to Germany before we were actually going to Germany.
Exactly.
You know? That's right. That's yeah. Right. All right.
Or, and all the propaganda and
Fortress
everything.
Fortress Europa. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think that.
I almost want to say he's liberal, but I, you know, after what Craig said, I don't think he is.
I think he is.
Do you think he's liberal?
I think he, and this is why. I think that when he was invented or written or created or whatever, mm-hmm. he fought slumlords. He is, his arch nemesis is a businessman.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good
great point.
He's a journalist. I mean, look.
See, that's what I said.
Let's not stereotype. I agree, though. I mean, we talk about stereotypes, but there are certain fields that are traditionally. That doesn't mean every journalist is that way, but I mean the arts in general and.
Well, that goes down to, well, we don't know. Is the Daily Planet a lefty, pinko commie rag?
I assume it is.
Or is it a traditionalist, you know, it's the old argument in Pittsburgh, you know, yeah. The Post-Gazette is this and the Trib is this.
Yeah.
You know? One's conservative, one's liberal.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't know. I'm trying to think back to. I mean, I never really. I'm sure it's part of the story, but
I'm sure they keep that. I mean, you keep it sanitized. You can't polarize Superman. You know what I mean? Like, they try to keep it in the gray area.
Yeah.
But reading between the lines, that's what I see.
That's I never looked at it that way. But that is a great point.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna move on to bats.
Bats.
Dan, why don't you go first for Batman?
Batman. Batman does seem a little bit conservative, doesn't he? But he's chaos. He's I don't want to break your rules either, but I don't know that he kind of has his own thing that he does what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I mean, that goes back to,
I think he gets polarized because he is black and white.
Yeah.
And I think that people, you know, you don't have the ability to compromise, and people are like, that's fascism. You know, that's one of those definitions that we find ourselves talking about fascism is, you know, like Rorschach. You know, you talk about Rorschach and the Watchmen, people are like, yeah, he's not only conservative, he's a, you know, dingbat, you know, anarchist, you know, fascist, crazy conservative. And his defining characteristic is he will not compromise. He says it like four times in the book, like, there is no compromise. There's black, there's white, there's right, there's wrong. And I see Batman is kind of the same kind of thing.
Yeah, Dan and I talked about this before, and not to
go ahead, because you're the Batman guy.
No, but Dan was not familiar and I'm pretty damn sure John is, about the moral compass of Batman, regardless of what version of Batman it is. To your point, it's a categorical imperative. It's evil or it's good, and he won't kill. You can't convince him. You know, it's the whole, and I think I made reference to that, the Batman and Philosophy book that I had, and regardless of how, you know, there's the utilitarian argument that if Batman just killed the Joker,
right,
he would have saved 20,000 lives.
I like to call that the Audie Murphy argument.
But he won't, to your point, because he can't. It's like, no.
Right.
If I do that, I am just as bad.
As Joe Chill.
That's exactly right. Where a lot of other heroes, and again, I'm not criticizing Superman, but that's the whole thing. Superman gets it. And he becomes more political. You know, a president, whoever it is, could shape him. And Superman becomes the Jack Bauer of comics. You know, it's like, I get it. Somebody's got to get their fucking hands dirty every now and then.
Right.
You know, it's the whole, nobody else wants to do it. Mm-hmm. But if you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall, somebody's got to do it. And I'm going to do it.
Right.
Because that's why.
You can't handle the truth.
Right. That's why they dropped me on this earth, and I'm going to do good. And a lot of superheroes are like that. You know,
I always felt that push to that point, and it's been done in the comics, and it obviously was done in the last movie. Push to that point, Superman will make the choice,
right?
Which I don't think Batman would.
Well, that was what got us into that whole conversation. Was the end of the recent thing that we're not talking about.
well, we're talking about the last one, and I'm going to fucking spoil it. I don't care. Superman kills Zod,
right? And I informed
that was like a huge big deal to some people, and I'm like, not so much.
Was that a big deal to you, John?
At that point, I didn't care. The reason that I accept it is because it's an origin movie, right?
Right.
If that's the reason that he decides he's never going to kill anybody again, we could go that way. However, Absolutely. David Goyer or whoever wrote it or produced it or whatever said, no, I don't see an imperative to where Superman doesn't kill people. As far as I'm concerned, Superman's always killed people. And he pointed to the Superman 2 where they're like... Yeah. They're killing those Phantom Zone criminals all over the place in that movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm like, as long, I think, coming from a professional wrestling background, he would be a heel if he killed a normal dude.
Right.
But him killing another Kryptonian, you know, who's to say if he made the right choice?
It's the true lies. They were all very bad. Yeah. Did you kill people? They were all bad men.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you guys done with Batman?
I'm done with
him. I'm never done with Batman.
He loves Batman.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
He'd be Alfred. He'd take out Alfred just so he could hang out with
him. I'm a Batman nerd, but we can move away from him.
Okay, well...
How about that? Not done. We'll just move away.
Right. Well, let me weigh in on...
Please,
I'm going to weigh in on him real fast. I believe Batman is a conservative, and I believe he's a conservative because, well, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
He fights corruption in the police force. And his arch nemesis are frequently eco-terrorists.
Yeah, yeah.
And nutcases.
And scientists.
That's actually a very good point. Yeah. he is, yeah. The evil that he fights is generally somebody who is trying to get a large group of people. To your point, the environment. There's a whole lot of that in the Batman lore.
He secretly wants to be a conservative.
Hey, like I said, I'm very.
he's not pragmatic.
No.
Anti-pragmatism.
I'm not anti-pragmatic. Right. Just makes sense. That's all. That's
exactly
all.
Right.
That's okay. All.
So I got two easy ones for you.
Yeah. This is softballs.
So easy that it was actually kind of like a plot point in a comic book.
Is one of them Nixon?
No.
In tights?
The Green Arrow and Green Lantern. Back in the 70s, they did, I believe it was just called Green Arrow and Green Lantern, and one of them was a lefty and one of them was a righty, and that's where they started kind of introducing sort of political vernacular into these DC comic books. And they had one comic in particular that was about drug abuse. Mm-hmm. And they were both like weighing in on their separate sides. So if you had to guess if Green Arrow or Green Lantern was a liberal or conservative, where would you go?
If I had to guess, John, I guess I would say that Oliver is the liberal and Hal was the conservative.
Yeah, that makes sense to me too, because Hal's military too, and that's traditionally military.
And Green Arrow and Green Arrow is a little too close to the Robin Hood, you know, yes. Rob from the rich, give to the poor type of.
Exactly.
You can kind of see that, you know, this is the modern day version.
It's so great in tights.
It's actually so ingrained in the character. When they introduce him in the DC animated universe, he even says something like, "Hey kid, you know me, I'm just an old lefty, you know, I'm taking care of the little guy, you know." He actually says that's like a line of dialogue ripped that's right awesome. Out of this cartoon.
You know what's interesting? What in what arm is it that he loses? It's the left arm, isn't it?
Oh, you know, I never thought about that.
Like, I'm just thinking of like of the true symbolism yeah. of
wait, when did he play for Def Leppard?
What? No, he
the drummer from Def Leppard's right. only got one arm,
and he's Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow was the drummer for.
That's what I'm saying. he lost a leg.
No, you know what I mean. Like in Dark Knight Returns, when that character, which I love that, when he finally comes around, that's pretty cool. But he doesn't. It's his left arm that he's without, isn't it?
That seems right because he's got to hold the bow. With his, and he shoots arrows with his fucking teeth.
And I'm trying to remember which one is, but there's probably.
But when Frank introduced him like that, like he made him like he's saying like old hippie stuff. Like he's like, "You goddamn running dog!" He's like kicking the shit out of these police officers.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
And then I just want to bring up some of the popular Marvel movies and kind of talk about the political implications with them, like things like S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, they go way out of their way to talk about how S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't the U.S. government. It's an agent of some global,
right,
you know, government out there.
It's a shadow government behind the government, behind the government.
Yeah. And do you guys have any kind of thoughts about S.H.I.E.L.D. as we see it in the movies?
They're running their own deal. I mean, they don't really answer to anybody from the way that I see it. It's kind of like, this is our agenda and this is what it is.
I'm curious to see Captain America 2 because it looks like there's an awful lot of like shady business that they're getting into.
Yeah.
Like they're making like a bunch of of those helicarriers to like monitor the world and stuff.
It should be interesting. I mean, I'm definitely interested to see where they go.
You mean like that drone that's outside the window right now?
So is S.H.I.E.L.D. like the, what is it? The Illuminati, the secret government behind the government?
Well, it seems to me like
the what is that? Behold a pale horse. The
well, yeah, because I mean, I think the theory behind that is that governments come and go every 4 years or so. But
it's the bureaucrats people, that keep it going. Yeah. In the Avengers,
yeah, we don't like that guy, but that's all right. He's been gone in a few years.
There's 2 points.
Let's just kill him
in the Avengers that I found really interesting. One is, you know, Nick Fury gets called to his boss's office, and it's just a room full of televisions with like blanked out faces and you know he's got you don't know who he's answering to, right?
Did he bring his wallet with him?
I'm sure he did.
Did it say bad motherfucker on it?
And the second point is in the Avengers they do a quick line of dialogue where they basically talk about how they trample all over our constitutional rights.
Yeah.
Where he's like, we have every camera in the world looking for this guy.
That's right.
He's like just tapping into our cell phones and, you know, whatever, and just using them however they want.
I think that's why they're allowed to make those movies, because, you know, just because that's what's really happening. And they're like, well, if you put it in a movie, people will be like, that's fucking crazy.
But that's a good point, guys. And it kind of, I'm going to backtrack a little bit to the kind of a couple of points that we've made back to the Star Wars thing, the Attack of the Clones comic that I made earlier. But then just in general, because to your point, governments are transient and whoever's in the Oval Office at the time. I think that's, you know, we tend to focus a lot about, well, clearly this is about this because, you know, we have a conservative in the White House or a liberal in the White House. It's hearing you say that, John, it's very interesting about the infringement upon our privacy right now, because everybody's like, oh, that's so if you infringe upon people's privacy, it's clearly the liberals are bad. Right. But when Attack of the Clones came out, the big stink was the line that I remember, and I will acknowledge, I read this in The Nation, which is a complete liberal rag. So I get it. It's their spin on it. But Bill Maher talked about it on his show, too. There's the line about, so this is how liberty dies, mm-hmm. to thunderous applause.
Right.
And everybody associated that with, everything that was going on post 9/11, where
we're looking at,
the only way we can possibly protect ourselves if we do background checks and do, you know, the tattoos and, you know, implants on people. And it, but it was a Republican, you know what I mean? So it's like, people always make the argument based upon what's going on at that time, which to my opinion gives more credibility to that fact that, yeah, I don't give a shit who's in the White House. There's a secret government back there, and maybe it's fucking S.H.I.E.L.D.
There's somebody out there.
Yeah, there's something out there.
That's so, what, I think this topic is fascinating because it deals with how you are perceiving your world.
Yeah.
You know, you have
how you're told to perceive your world as well.
It's like a one-sided code. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I don't know that you read The Nation or what you think about Attack of the Clones, and you have these characters or, you know, ideas or, you know, the Empire that's been around forever, and everyone attaches their own kind of bullshit to them, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the old days, you know, back in the day where,
friends.
He's the good guy because he wears white, and he's the bad guy because he wears black. And
well, we fucked that all up.
Yeah. Right, and now we've just, that's been all jacked up.
So, shades of gray.
So, while I was listening to you talk, something occurred to me in the...
You felt compelled to change the channel? That's what we get a lot.
Hey, you know what is going on?
All right, stop it.
In the... pussy. In the second Batman... The second Christian Bale Batman movie, which, you know, there's a ton of political allegory in that movie that's going on. But, you know, they have their version of the Patriot Act in that movie where Bruce has hijacked everyone's cell phones.
Yes.
And, you know, only and he doesn't trust himself to put that technology away. So he makes Fox do it. You know, when I find the Joker,
explode this thing. That's one of my favorite scenes in that movie is innocuous. And, you know,
that's why
I love it, because Lucius is so, you know what, consider this my level. You know, I love that.
Do it.
Yeah, but then I also love Batman with the whole, you know, you're right. And I know this is wrong, but this is what I have to do.
Right.
There's that whole inner turmoil about, I'm not willing to go any further with this, so you do it.
Right. And it's like he doesn't trust himself not to use it whenever he wants.
And then, I love that. Yeah. That says about 800 things.
Right. I thought it...
That's why I gave you the code.
Right.
Okay, so a couple years ago, Marvel did a...
But hey, before you move on from that, John, I'm sorry. So I watched Iron Man 3 for the first time.
Okay, cool.
What happened? what the hell happened in that movie?
Think about it as...
I will say this, because all I could think of is he has 42 suits.
Calumet can in it.
I just kept thinking of that.
I liked it. I mean, until they did the shit with Pepper at the end, I actually enjoyed the movie.
I liked it. I thought it...
Because I've been there. I mean, I know what it's like to have panic attacks, and that's probably more than most people want to know. But, I mean, I've battled with that. You know, I get overwhelmed in certain situations, and I get it. I mean, I understand what he's going through, and it's like what he's doing. It's kind of shitty that a superhero has, but
don't get me wrong. I liked it, but I was like, there was a lot of shit going on. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like that a lot because I'll look at something and I'm trying to read way too much into it.
I think of it as like a Vietnam War movie. Okay. like he's you know, the vet coming home.
So he's
home.
Got post-traumatic stress.
That's the way that I mean that's the way that I took it.
That's a good way of looking at it.
And it, you know, it's when the kid reminds him, he's like, well, I thought you were the fucking mechanic. Go in there and fucking fix it. And he's like, I can do shit, I don't need that suit. It's me, man. It's not the metal, it's me.
I am.
He builds
Iron
all
man.
That cool shit from Radio Shack, which I thought was Home Depot or wherever. It was pretty awesome.
I was like, he's a billionaire. Couldn't he just buy a gun? But I guess that goes against the point of him building things. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, he probably isn't using his credit card. He's probably got whatever couple hundreds he's got in his pocket.
But, so Marvel did this thing called the Civil War, where the government stepped in and they were like, hey, look, we're happy to have all you superheroes running around doing our jobs for us. But what we need you to do is we need you to register. And we're going to pay you, but we need to know who you are and what your powers are. And a fissure happened through the Marvel Universe where a bunch of heroes went, hey, that's fucked up and we're not doing it. And then the other half of it was like, yeah, you know, that's a responsible thing to do. And basically it was...
Didn't Stark reveal like who everybody was?
He made Peter Parker reveal who he was, but it's okay because someone cast a spell and everyone forgot already.
Yeah, and that wasn't really Peter Parker anyway. That was Ben Kent, whatever. Fucking stupid.
So,
I used to like Spider-Man until they fucked it up.
Well, the whole it was like this huge like 20 part crossover series or something, and it was a allegory about the Patriot Act and, you know, us giving up our liberties and whatever. And, you know, Captain America was he actually flipped. I think he started on the pro registration side and then moved to the anti registration side, and Tony Stark stuck with the pro registration side, and they had this big huge, you know, violent love affair throughout the whole fucking thing.
But, ram your shield into me.
Do you guys know anything about that? Or, I mean, it got a little bit of mainstream, like, coverage, I guess you could say, because of the subject matter.
When was this?
This was a few years ago.
It's because it seems like I remember hearing something about it.
Yeah, it was passed whenever I was actually... Not like I'm too good for comics. Right. I mean, I don't think... I personally never outgrew them, but that's because I'm a man-child. But, you know... it's past the point when I was actually reading comics actively.
Okay.
Other than yours.
Well, pff, right.
I gotta read that shit.
Well, absolutely.
So, why don't you guys plug the podcast, and we'll wrap this fucker up.
Well, you can find us at podcast.ninthstory.com. That takes you right to the podcast. If you want to listen to the radio show, that's ride.ninthstory.com. Or just www.ninthstory.com. We're at Ninth Story if you want us on Twitter. And we have our Facebook page, which is just, you know, Ninth Story, Facebook/ whatever they do with that stuff. Yeah, exactly. Don't I make it sound exciting,
there's
everyone?
There's a lot of stuff. So, well, I'm sorry, John. I'm going to one last thing because I wanted to.
One more thing. Ew, are what's you the, fucking Columbo over here? One more thing, sir.
John, Dr. Towers, if I might ask you one more thing.
It's like we thought we got
off
scot-free.
Was it the left arm or the right arm?
This whole Oliver Queen era. No, The Punisher.
Yeah.
I remember a long time ago, I said, hey, John, remind me to talk to you about The Punisher.
Oh. Hey, Craig, why don't you... talk to me about The Punisher.
John, I want to talk with you about Frank Castle.
See, this that time travel shit. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about The Punisher.
He got your message a couple minutes from now.
So, that was just a little story. When I was in college, I lived above a comic book store. It was the best part about my 4 years of college. And I had, you know, I had
my
all
best
the,
part was the weed, but I, that's
I,
just
I,
me.
Well, yeah, sure. That's you. The titles that I had an in-store subscription.
That was the worst part.
So I got all the Batman titles. That was all the Punisher titles and the Nom. Do you remember the Nom?
Yeah. Do you remember when they would cross over and you could see Frank Castle in the Nom?
It's funny because I just saw that issue because I got a bunch of my old comic books out of my mother's attic over the weekend. Anyway, so the Punisher, when that allegedly ended the first time, I remember, and I was trying to find the final issue because it was one of the things I wanted to talk to you. Was he not co-opted by S.H.I.E.L.D.? Wasn't that how they initially ended that he became part of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't recall that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. The way that I remember ending is he died and he became like the Ghost Punisher.
That's the thing.
Ectoplasm guns and whatever stupid.
What? Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I think they brought and when you talked about it, and I can't remember what context you brought it up, but I was like, wait a minute, the Punisher's still kicking around? I thought they killed him off years ago. Because that was one of the things I remember getting the last issue. But as comic books go, nobody knows when to say goodbye to a hero. They can't create a new one.
Right.
So we got to keep bringing back the old ones.
That's why they did the movie three times. Right. Didn't they do like three Punisher movies?
Well, if you count the Dolph Lundgren, they did it three times.
Well, that was one of the other reasons, because I know you've made a lot of social media comments about various Punishers. So I assume
because they were playing them back to back.
Yeah.
They were playing the Tom Jane one and the new one back to back to back to back. So, but they got him back. I think they're actually like, bring him into like a superhero, more of like a superhero role nowadays. Gotcha. So,
see, I mean, I was always a huge fan of that comic of the comic. From a movie perspective, I always felt nobody gets it. Right.
I don't understand. It's the easiest
movie
to make.
It's the easiest one. Right?
Like, hey, go rent Deathwish.
Right.
Do that.
Right.
Put a T-shirt on him with the fucking skull. You win.
Right. Like that's and nobody gets it right. They just can't. They just keep fucking it up.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so this is Red Horse Radio episode 130. So it's kind of a touchstone episode here. 130. So. Thank you guys for coming in.
Absolutely.
And I'll see you around the block there. We only clocked in at 43 minutes. That's not too fucking bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's really good.
John should do every show with us.
Yeah. That goes like limp.
Here, you. That's can you stop guy. That? I can't.
Stop that. Can you stop it?
You like midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Congratulations, you survived another episode of Red Horse Radio. Please, please, please subscribe to the show, friend it, like it, share it on your social media. Feel free to tweet me at JONNYAXX. You can also feel free to drop me an email, towers113@gmail.com. Until next week.